KAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this TGIF, yes, it's Friday. Can you believe it's Friday? This week has just flown by. The weekend is upon us. It is January 27, 2017. We've got a fantastic hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will give you guys a bit of a preview centered on the Michigan State and Michigan rivalry men's basketball game that will take place on Sunday afternoon, national television, a 1 p.m. tip time. We'll discuss that game and highlight Michigan's latest win coming over an opponent in which Michigan State couldn't beat. Did you see that win that the Wolverines had over the Hoosiers last night? Indy didn't stand a chance. Wow. So the Wolverines coming into the Breslin Center with a lot of confidence. We'll preview that matchup. Also, I attended Michigan State men's basketball practice yesterday, and head coach Tom Izzo has clarified his comments after their loss to Purdue, in which he called out the Michigan State fan base. You'll hear what Coach Izzo had to say. And I'm excited about our two guests for this afternoon's show. It's going to be a dynamite show. As first, we will invite Liz Dudek to the show. She is the world record holder in the bench press women's age group from 55 to 59 in the 132-pound division. Also owner of the gym Stay Fit out in Ithaca, Michigan. Liz is going to join us here on the show to talk about breaking that world record and other records that she has her sights on. And then later on this hour, we will chat with a dear friend of our airwaves. You know his name, Mr. Ron DeLeon, boxing and MMA fight promoter. He's got a great event taking place tomorrow night at the Lansing Center that he will join us on the air to chat about. So as you see, a loaded show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you want to be a part of our airwaves. And oh yeah, by the way, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and Wolverines on Sunday afternoon. Find out how you can win. Keep it locked right here, because I'm sure our phone lines are going to explode behind the glass, all right? Before we get to all of that fun, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. And we begin with that Michigan and Indiana men's basketball game that took place last night at Chrysler Center from tip-off. The Wolverines came out firing, leading from start to finish. Senior guard Derek Walton Jr. led the team in scoring, putting up 21 points, boosting a 90-60 win over the Hoosiers. This wasn't just a win. This was a blowout, folks. A 30-point dub over Indy. Crazy. Michigan shot over 60% from the field, 63% to be exact, 55% from behind the three-point line, along with forcing 16 turnovers. That all adds up to a huge win for the Maize and Blue. Now, coming off a confident win, the Wolverines hope to keep that momentum going against the struggling Michigan State Spartans. The Spartans, who have lost three games straight, will host the Wolverines at the Breslin Sunday, 1 p.m. This is going to be a fun game. Tom Izzo's squad is hungry. You'll get to hear from Coach Izzo, and we'll preview that matchup in just a moment. We will also, again, give away a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and Wolverines later on this hour. Keep your ear
close to your radio. All right? Trust me. I've been getting text messages and emails about these tickets all week. So now is your shot, all right? Matthew Stafford, of course, Detroit Lions quarterback, has elected not to play in the Pro Bowl due to his injured middle finger on his throwing hand. Stafford and the Lions went 0-4, I should say, in their four full games after Stafford's initial injury. Before the injury, Stafford was completing 68% of his passes with 21 touchdowns and 5 INTs. After the injury, his numbers dropped to a 58% completion percentage with only 3 TDs and 5 INTs. Now, Stafford was named as the second alternate for the NFC team, initially behind Matt Ryan and Dak Prescott. However, due to Stafford's withdrawal and Ryan's ineligibility because of the Falcons Super Bowl berth, Drew Brees, get this, former Michigan State University quarterback Kirk Cousins will step in as Prescott's backups. Now, the Pro Bowl is scheduled for 8 p.m. on Sunday night and will be broadcast on ESPN. And like many folks, I won't be watching that. I just don't like watching the Pro Bowl. Sue me. All right, the NBA All-Star reserves were announced last night, and the Detroit Pistons, to no surprise, had no representatives. Andre Drummond was the lone Piston to make the Eastern Conference All-Star team last year. Drummond's numbers are down compared to last year, averaging 14.2 points per game and 13.5 boards per game. Notable All-Star reserves include the likes of Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics, not Zeke, right? John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. Gordon Hayward, DeAndre Jordan, and Kemba Walker also receive first invitations to the annual event. We'll have more conversation on the Pistons having no members on the All-Star team later on this hour. Two nights ago, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade approached the media together, commenting on the Chicago Bulls' recent struggles. Butler and Wade placed the blame on their teammates, with Wade saying, quote, "It just doesn't mean enough to guys around here to want to win ball games," end quote. Now, the comments came after a loss to the Atlanta Hawks, a game in which the Bulls led by 10 points with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Bulls guard Rajon Rondo responded to these critiques by taking to Instagram, posting a picture with Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett from his time with the Boston Celtics. In the caption, Rondo said, quote, "My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. They showed the young guys what it meant to work," end quote. He said that and much more. We'll dive into it later on. Butler and Wade combined for 73 points in the loss to Atlanta, while Rondo only scored 3. The Bulls will host the Miami Heat tonight at 8 p.m. Being a Tigers fan and knowing who Jim Leland is like MSU and Tom Izzo, all right, the equivalent, right? And the two have shared a lot of great memories together when it comes to Jim Leland and the Detroit Tigers. Leland, who coached the Detroit Tigers from 06 to 2013, will be the face of a new television special on MLB Network, airing Tuesday at 9 p.m. Central DVRs. The special will detail Leland's career as manager for the Tigers, as well as the Pittsburgh Pirates, Florida Marlins, and Colorado Rockies. Barry Bonds, who played under Leland, is among those who will also be interviewed, along with Dave Dombrowski, formerly the Detroit Tigers general manager. That should be a fun special. Looking forward to that one. Rafael Nadal defeated Grigor Dimitrov in nearly a 5-hour-long contest. The 5-set victory advanced Nadal into the Aussie Open final, where he will face longtime nemesis Roger Federer. Oh, I'm getting chills just thinking about this matchup. Roger Federer beat Stan Wawrinka in 5 sets as well to advance to the Grand Slam final. These two have clashed for epic matches in the past. Federer and Nadal have met 34 times in their career. Rafa holds the edge in the rivalry with a 23-11 head-to-head record. The match will take place Sunday at 3 a.m. I'm setting my alarm right now. It's been over a year since Tiger Woods, his last start at the PGA tournament. That all changed yesterday when Tiger was set to tee off at the Farmers Insurance Open. Immediately, Tiger knew he was in for a long day. His first drive hit a tree, landed in the rough. He finished the first hole with a bogey. Tiger did not see his first birdie until the 10th hole, putting him further behind than what he wanted. Tiger finished the day, +4. He hopes to cover some ground today in round 2. I believe he teed off at around 12:30. We'll keep you updated on how Tiger is balling out as the hour proceeds. And last but not least, just I want to highlight a few notable games on the slate of high school basketball tonight for both boys and girls. The best of the boys games include East Lansing at Jackson, Lansing Everett versus Grand Ledge. And how about this? Detroit Pershing at Detroit Osborne. Looking forward to that one for those in the Detroit area. The best of the girls games, a few, are East Lansing at Jackson, Lansing Eastern at Okemos, and Holtz at Lansing Sexton. Now, Lansing Everett will also play against Grand Ledge tonight. So a full slate of fun when it comes to boys and girls high school hoops. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show.
Like, if you don't come in this pissed off after you lose every, like, any game, after if you're not pissed off that you lost, man, something's wrong.
I don't know how you fix it. It just doesn't mean enough for guys around here to want to win ball games. And you know, it pisses me off, but I can't be frustrated, and I can't care too much for these guys. They got to care for themselves.
Who cares who's shining? When we're winning, man, everybody looks great. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, man. I don't think that that's happening right now. I really don't.
Oh, that's an 80s classic right there. Candy Girl by New Edition. That's how we open up today's current sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a fun Friday in store for all of you out there. As I mentioned at the top of the hour, we have not one, but two dynamite guests that again, you are not going to miss, all right? They are unbelievable. I'm really looking forward to both, and especially our first one, because Liz Dudek is the world record holder in the bench press for the women's age group of 55 to 59. And has a remarkable story. You don't want to miss that. She'll be joining us in less than 10 minutes now. I want to briefly start off the show by addressing this whole Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade feud. And, you know, I mentioned in the headliners, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, after they lost that game in which the Chicago Bulls had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes left in the final stanza of the game. They end up losing that game to the Atlanta Hawks. Jimmy Butler and D-Wade, they're in the locker room after they hit the showers, because I guess they leave the locker room together. So apparently they had this plan. But both of them come out, address the media, and decide to spew venom at the rest of their teammates. I couldn't believe it. Haven't seen something like that in quite some time. But to come out to the media in front of microphones and cameras and to call out your teammates like that just shocked me. You know, handle that in-house, man. Handle that in-house. You have a team meeting, you know? Go off amongst each other. Don't put that out to the national press. Makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. So, you know what? Rajon Rondo, who is such a polarizing player in his own right, I have no problem with what Rondo did. No problem whatsoever. Rondo came out and posted on his Instagram a picture of himself. This is during the glory days of the Boston Celtics when looking at Rondo's career. A picture of himself, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce. I just briefly want to try to breeze through this. Quote, my vets would never go to the media. They would come to the team. My vets didn't pick and choose when they wanted to bring it. They brought it every time they stepped in the gym, whether it was practice or a game. They didn't take days off. My vets didn't care about their numbers. My vets played for the team. When we lost, they wouldn't blame us. They took responsibility and got in the gym. They showed the young guys what it meant to work. Even in Boston, when we had the best record in the league, if we lost a game, you could hear a pin drop on the bus. They showed us the seriousness of the game. My vets didn't have an influence on the coaching staff. Let that one sink in, right? They couldn't change the plan because it didn't work for them. I played under one of the greatest coaches, and he held everyone accountable. It takes 1 through 15 to win. When you isolate everyone, you can't win consistently. I may be a lot of things, but I'm not a bad teammate. My goal is to pass what I learned along. The young guys work. They show up. They don't deserve blame. If anything is questionable, it's the leadership. Wowza. Wowza. So I loved it. You know, anytime, first off, I thought it was cowardly for Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler to air out their grievances with their teammates to the media. Yes, that's not the way to handle it. So I had no problem with Rajon Rondo coming out and saying what he had to say. Yeah, Rondo won a championship with the Boston Celtics back in the day. And Dwayne Wade is a champion in his own right, right? In the glory days of Chris Bosh and LeBron James. Wade decided to just be petty. And on his Instagram account, give sort of the same spiel. I won't read Wade just because of time. His is like a Charles Dickens novel as well. But he also talked about his vets, what his vets did. My vets didn't sulk on the bench. They accepted their role. My vets didn't refuse to shoot an open jump shot. They played with the offense. My vets weren't terrified to get fouled and have to shoot free throws, blah, 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 blah. And then he says at the end, I'll just read this. I may be a lot of things, but I'm definitely not a diva who is past his prime. If anything is questionable, it's your perspective on how good you currently are at the game of basketball. Come on, man. That's not the way you do it. That is not the way you do it. It's a mess out in Chicago. I tell you what, though, I can't help but think of one man in this whole spiel to put a local feel into this conversation, that being Mr. Denzel Valentine, who was a ball player for the Michigan State men's basketball team. Just fantastic to watch. I've been covering Denzel since he was in high school, when I was an intern at Home TV here at Michigan State University. I can only imagine what Denzel is learning when evaluating this whole situation, being a Chicago Bull. I can only imagine. Watching something like this, I mean, gosh. And, you know, Dwayne Wade, one of the greatest players to ever play the game, without a doubt. Hall of Famer, for sure. This is petty, though. I was shocked, Isaac, that Dwayne would come out. And I probably not, because you're not a big fan of Dwayne Wade. We've had numerous conversations about that. But I was shocked that Dwayne and Jimmy would come out and say something like that. And then Dwayne would go tit for tat with Rajon Rondo about something like this. And I'm just counting down the days now. And I mentioned this to our PAs before the show. I'm just counting down the days now to when I see across my phone an ESPN update that Fred Hoiberg is fired from the team. Did you see the snippet where Fred is trying to call a timeout and Jimmy Butler looks at him? He's like, nah, man, we don't need no timeout. And doesn't call the timeout. Mind blowing.
Watching that game, in fact, and there was an incredible comeback. The Hawks really surmounted all sorts of odds to make that game theirs, to be honest. But the thing is, the Bulls, this was an odd construction of a team from the start. Let's face it, you already have your leader in Jimmy Buckets Butler. Then you put together D. Wade, a veteran, also a ball handler, though somebody who needs the ball in his hands. Rajon Rondo can't shoot, again, needs the ball in his hands. Michael Carter Williams, again, can't shoot, needs... You get where I'm going with this. This was a terrible construction of a team from the start. But the thing is, and, you know, Rajon Rondo is a problem child. Maybe they tried to address it and it didn't work effectively, whatever. I don't know what's going inside that locker room. The thing is, you don't go to the media.
No,
if that's
man,
what they did
on.
First, you handle it in-house. Afterwards, you also have players saying things. LeBron yesterday as well. He's got this same issue. And I like LeBron. But LeBron went to the media. He said, Dan Gilbert and I have a working relationship. You say we have a good relationship. We're like family. Nothing is wrong, I assure you. You say whatever it takes.
Even if that may not be true. Right.
The media off your back to keep controversy from festering in the locker room. There's so much that these guys need to know in terms of public relations. It's that simple. But yeah, you don't go to the locker room or you don't go to the media if you're Dwayne Wade and Jimmy Butler, especially if you're not going to call out one person who you've tried to address. Mm. That's okay. If you're trying to motivate and galvanize one guy, that's one thing. When you call out the rest of your team, man, that's just selfish.
I don't even think it's right to even call out one guy. I mean, handle this in-house. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what the greats back in the day used to do. You know what I mean? The Jordans and the Magics. They used to handle that stuff in the locker room. They would have a lemon squeeze, call you out. I mean, come on.
How many years was it before we found out that Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face?
The countless stories we hear about MJ just going off, right? Now, I will say it's different nowadays. It is 2017, and you got Instagram and Twitter, and cameras are everywhere. I mean, everybody has smartphones. I get it. But as an athlete, especially an athlete of the magnitude of these guys, you got to be smarter than this. It's a mess. It's a mess. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As I mentioned, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball game this Sunday. I believe our PAs are working on a trivia question for you all. I'm going to make you earn them, all right? Because I've been getting, everybody and my mama wants these tickets, all right? I've been getting hit up everywhere. So we'll give you that trivia question as the hour proceeds. So make sure you have your phones handy and make sure you have 517-355-9527 locked into your phone, all right? Going to make you earn them. They're going to put the trivia question in my rundown here, and I'll give it to you later on this hour. In the meantime, briefly, while we're getting our first guest on the phone, Isaac, I want to bring up a brief preview. Michigan State and Michigan. It blew my mind when I was watching that game last night, the Wolverines and Hoosiers. It really did, because Michigan State is a team that struggled against Indiana, actually lost against the Hoosiers earlier this year, actually, 6 days ago, right? 82-75, the final of that matchup, out in Bloomington, Indiana, at Assembly Hall, one of the most ruckus atmospheres you'll find in college hoops. Michigan State made it look easy peasy. Slight work against the Indiana Hoosiers last night. I mean, my goodness, where did that maize and blue team come from? The Wolverines, though, are winless in 5 road games this season. So there's that. You could take that however you want it. But gosh, I mean, they now head to East Lansing playing their best ball all season. In their last 5 games, Michigan has shot over 50%, 51.2% from the floor, including 44.5% from the three-point line. Michigan has now won 3 of its last 4 games. Now, they aren't playing perfect defense, but we did see stout defensive effort from this team last night. It may not show up when it comes to Indiana's shooting percentage. Indiana still shot over 50% from the floor. However, I want to bring up one name. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. Was he fantastic last night or what? Specifically on the defensive end. He absolutely shut down James Blackman, who gave the Spartans the blues 6 days ago. He held Blackman actually to just 4 points. If you remember, Blackman scored a career-high 33 in that 82-75 dub over the Spartans on Saturday. And he came into last night's game averaging a little over 18 points per game, 3rd in the Big Ten to be exact. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman. I love that name, by the way. Shout out to the GOAT. He just manned up and was in the jersey of Blackman all day. All day. Fun to watch him defend. I mean, he's a gritty defender. So, and again, the Wolverines are among the nation's leader when it comes to taking care of the basketball. As always, they had just 6 turnovers against Indy. So I want to get your thoughts and prediction on that game as well. Spartans and Wolverines this Sunday, 1 o'clock, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we do, I want to play this snippet before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports. Tom Izzo has been, he went viral after Tuesday night's loss to Purdue. based on his comments about the Michigan State fan base. Justin Rose of Channel 7 in Detroit asked Tom Izzo about the fan base, and he went on this spiel about, I don't care about the fan base. I know what's going on with my team right now. I know the struggles. I know what they're going through. Tom Izzo during practice, I went to practice yesterday, and I got a chance to ask Tom Izzo whether or not he wanted to clarify what he meant with those comments. So what you're about to hear right now is the first snippet from Tuesday night, and then you'll hear Tom Izzo at practice yesterday addressing those comments. Before we hit our first break, I want to play this for you.
I don't care about the fan base. You know, if people want to complain, I don't care. I really don't.
Well, Coach Izzo addressed that rant after today's practice.
The beginning of that week in our press conference, we talked about some things that were going on out in the social media. So when I'm answering a question, I kind of put everything all together. And because I don't deal in that 140 bites or 5 bites or any other bites, I just kind of lump it all together. And I said, you know, if some people are upset, because I use the word fan base, you know, my apology. But if I have to say anything, as I've said before, to anybody in this state on my loyalty to our fans, that's sad. And so, but I'm not going to let people that have no clue belittle my players or my program. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. If it's our fans and they don't know, it's not going to happen. If it's other fans, and that's the thing, you know, you can, you know, I don't know how it all works, but you can hashtag this and do that this. I don't want to sound like Belichick, but it could be somebody from Purdue. It could be somebody from Michigan. It could be somebody from somewhere else. So I guess if I had to choose my words better, I don't care about fans that do not pull for our team, you know, because those are like Walmart fans. You know, if you're winning, they do good, and if you're losing, they don't. And the funniest part is, I don't know why nobody put on there when I started the press conference about the night, the fans, how good they were, the end zone, how good it was. You know, we have selective pickings on that. And so that's probably the last time I'm going to talk about it this year. But I thought I owed you the best explanation I could give you.
And I'm going to leave it at that. Tom Izzo clarifying his comments after the loss to Purdue concerning the Michigan State fan base. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our first guest of today's Current Sports, Liz Dudek. World record holder in the bench press for the women's age group of 55 to 59 in the 132-pound division. Don't go anywhere. You do not want to miss this chat. Liz Dudek was recently crowned the world record holder in the bench press in the women's 55 to 59 age group in the 132-pound division. She put up 165 pounds in November at the WPC World Championships in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Shout out to Isaac, your home state. And also earned Best Lifter Award for the Raw Division. She has won 4 titles in her adopted home state and won the American Powerlifting Federation Raw Nationals in Chicago last May. It is truly my pleasure to welcome to Current Sports, Liz Dudek. Liz, how are you doing?
Hi, Al. I'm doing great today.
So glad to have you on. I'm excited to have you on just to talk about your road to breaking a world record. First off, Liz, how long have you had breaking this particular record on your noggin? How long has this been in your sights?
Well, I'll tell you, when I competed at Nationals in Chicago, I actually set a world record then.
And wow.
It was, yeah, so it was kind of overwhelming. So, but then to be able to compete with other world competitors on the same platform. So I had from, you know, May until November to have that in my sights.
Oh, boy, that's fantastic. So what record did you break in Chicago then?
So I put up 160.
160. Okay. So yep. So ideally you broke your own record out in Louisiana. Is that correct? With 165?
That is correct.
Oh my goodness. Now I have to bring this up too, because when I was reading the article about your story, I know you are a competitor, right? And
yes.
You could have broken that 165 pound record and you tried to put up 170. There were judges there that said that the weight came back on you and they didn't give it to you. What happened? And do you think that it was inaccurate? That was an inaccurate assessment of what took place.
So here's the deal. I mean, I have it on video. When you're benching, you know, you come down, you bring it down to your chest.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the bench command and you start pressing it up. Well, I'm what they call a grinder. It doesn't go up like, you know, at the speed of sound.
Right.
I grind it out. So I stalled halfway up, and I was just like, you know, resetting myself to get it up to the top. Next thing I know, the judge calls for them to grab it off me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and looking at the video, and trust me, I've asked so many people, look at this video. Do you see it go backwards? And everybody's like, no. But you know what? You got to trust the judges. There's three of them there for a reason. And it just gives me something to go after next time.
So I can only imagine, Liz, you weren't a happy woman after you put that weight back on the turn, right?
No. I was not happy.
I'm sure. But just putting into context that, you know, you've broken world records now. I mean, what goes through your mind when you think about that? I mean, doing something that no one on this earth has ever done, that's got to be pretty, pretty prideful for you.
It's overwhelming, quite frankly. I mean, because you read the article, I was an executive most of my life, so it's not like I've been doing this all my life. And, you know, to realize that I just, you know, have that strength that either nobody else has or nobody cares to compete with,
mm-hmm.
it's mind-blowing.
Sure. Now, Liz, what goes into the training for an accomplishment like this? I mean, what is your training regimen like on a day-to-day basis?
Well, you know, coming into those meets, I lift. I lift 6 days a week. And I do cardio once or twice a day to keep my weight off. Because the 132 is a little bit of a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and for the bench press, I train my chest twice a week. So it's a constant strain on the body. You know, quite frankly, you have to eat to lift, but yet you have to eat the right things so that you're not putting on any kind of fat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 24/7 game, really. Mentally, it's 24/7.
And you talk about it being a 24/7 grind. Liz, at what point do you stop? I'm curious. You know, because we've had bodybuilders on the show before, and I've talked to them about, you know, constantly pushing themselves and lifting more and more weight. Is there a threshold or a limit for you where once you get there, that's it?
I think not mentally. I think if my body started to work against me, I'm not going to be stupid. You
mm-hmm.
know, I own my own business. I'm responsible for my life. If it's going to put my physical body in danger of a disability or of an extreme injury, then I'm out.
Liz,
I mean, I'm not a professional. I'm not a professional mm-hmm. football player getting $1 million or many millions. You know,
right.
Let me clarify. You know, I mean, it's just it's you know, kind of high class recreation, but yeah, I wouldn't do anything to destroy my body or my longevity.
Liz, I want to circle back around to that response in just a moment, but I want to start to the beginnings of this journey for you when it comes to bodybuilding, because you took a pretty cool trip back in 2009 in which you got a lot of enlightenment. Can you talk about when you began this road?
So I took the opportunity to go to train in Thailand in 2009. I wanted to train with a particular bodybuilder who was at a Muay Thai camp down in Phuket. And, being there, I didn't stay at a fancy hotel. I stayed in the village. I got to know the people, you know, just kind of really down to earth things, and took a trip to see the, one of the largest Buddhas being built in Chulalongkorn. And it's up this huge mountain, and, you know, people, like, make pilgrimages up there. Mm-hmm. And a buddy and I went up, and, you know, we prayed with the monks, and they put bracelets, these threaded bracelets on you that are everything's about, you know, good luck, good health, protection. And it was just very inspirational. And coming back down the mountain, we stopped for lunch. And, and I just said to my buddy, I said, you know what? I said, I just don't see myself going back to the corporate world after this. And he at the time owned this gym that I own now. And I had said to him, you know, maybe I'll buy another gym in Michigan. And his knee-jerk reaction was just, why don't you just buy this one back? And he said, because I want to stay in Thailand for another year. And that's as easy as it was.
Wow.
And I came back in a month or two and made the deal, and I bought the gym.
So in many ways, Liz, that trip to Thailand made you look at life a bit different as far as when it comes to your own individual goals and dreams. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And those people, you know, they call it the land of smiles. A lot of those people have next to nothing to their name, but they are always happy. They're always happy. They're wonderful people to be around. Mm-hmm. You just get the spirit of, you know, happiness and love with not a lot of stuff, not a lot of material things.
Liz, can you put into context how that trip changed you for life mentally?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I was an executive on planes 4 days a week. The wardrobe to match, you know, fancy cars, nice house, the whole bit. And it was just like I almost wanted to unburden myself of having to keep up that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been in gyms since I was in high school. I was always lifting. And I always had the thought of owning a gym. That just gave me that spiritual nod that this is the direction to go in, and you're going to be okay. And I think that was the hurdle that I couldn't get across in prior years, that leaving that salary, leaving, you know, convention was going to be okay, and it's more than okay.
And Liz, you mentioned your background. Originally from New Jersey, started as a secretary at a healthcare company in 1975. You rose through the ranks. And eventually, you know, you're staying in some of the top hotels in NYC. And what I really liked about this article, which was very well written by Cody Tucker, by the way, of the Lansing State Journal. What I really liked, this little snippet here, when you had at one point 150 pairs of shoes. I mean, you were living the life. But you know what? Look at your story, Liz. This story puts in perspective that, hey, sometimes when you see successful people living a lavish life with all of the money and the cars and the jewelry, at the end of the day, it may not be what it seems to be, because, again, there's a pressure to keep up that type of lifestyle, but you may not be living your quote-unquote dream, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, I'll say this, and, you know, I'm not bragging. I bought a Porsche when I was an executive. I still drive it. I love that car. Mm-hmm. I think that, and I have some beautiful jewelry. It doesn't define me. I don't, you know what I'm saying? I enjoy it. I enjoy living the small town life in my gym, but I enjoy having nice things. And so I don't think one, you have to do one over the other. I think a nice balance of both is healthy.
So true. Liz Dudek, she's also the owner of Stay Fit Gratiot County in Ithaca. Liz, how did you go from living the fast life in New York to owning a gym in Ithaca? How did you go from New York to Ithaca, Michigan?
Well, I mean, circuitously. So I was in New York, New Jersey, took a job in Philly, got recruited to D.C., spent 10 years down there. Quite frankly, I was making myself my way south to warmer weather. Mm-hmm. And then I got a call and was recruited up to Ann Arbor. And I worked in Ann Arbor for 5 years. And that's when I met this fellow who had been, you know, a gym owner before, owned gyms around. We started hanging out. He wanted to get into this gym in Ithaca. And I made an investment with him. And he was the one that I traveled to Thailand with. And, you know, I mean, just as simple as he got in, he wanted out. And I had an investment here, and I had always wanted to own a gym. I can't say I knew anything about Ithaca because I didn't.
Right.
You know, I came here to protect my money, and I'm just going to make the best of it. They say if you want to do something in life, something very different, touch it somehow. Just touch it. Get involved. So I had put up the money. I said, all right, I'll come up, see what it's all about. And, you know, I ended up, you know, getting ensconced in the community here and I believe doing a good thing.
A perfect example of going after your dreams and going after and just trusting your heart and intuition. Absolutely love it, Liz. Before we get out of here, Liz, I want to know, what is the reaction from individuals out there who come in contact with you or see you training at your gym or want to become a member at your gym when they see you doing what you do at 59 years old? What are some of the reactions that you get?
Yeah, you know, I just got goosebumps because I have people in my gym. I have high school kids and some a little younger, and I have 85, 92-year-old people lifting in my gym, and I teach them to lift. They're not just on the treadmill. And they ask me about my progress. They talk to me about my lifting. They'll pat me on the back, high-five me. I mean, 82-year-old women walking through the gym. And then my big lifters, you know, some of them, pound for pound, I lift more than they do. And I don't think there's one person there who has a mean thing to say about me lifting. It's just, oh, my God, look at her. How cool, you know? And it is. It's really cool.
Liz, I want to leave our listeners by asking you this question here, kind of a two-part question here. What kind of inspiration do you want to be for those that hear your story? And you turn 60 in December. You've turned 60, I believe, right? Is that right? Or you
no,
turned 60?
I turned 59. I'll be 60 this year.
You'll be 60 this year. What are the new goals? So what kind of inspiration do you want to be for people that hear your story? And what are the new goals you are now chasing after?
Okay. What I always preach in my gym and the inspiration I want to be, absolutely, age is just a number. It does not define us. It does not mean anything. Be who you want to be. Take your body and your mind to the limits. That's the inspiration that I want to be. You know, what's up for me next? Building strength. I've got to go back and get that 170 lift. And then next year, I have to.
Right, of course.
I feel like I left it on the table for somebody else.
Right.
And then for next year at age 60, I can just, I'd love to be on the record books. I have 3 state records, 1 national, 1 world. I'd like to redo all of them at the age 60 age bracket.
What an inspiration. Liz Dudek, world record holder in the bench press for the women's age group of 55 to 59. Age ain't nothing but a number. In the 132-pound division and owner of Stay Fit in Ithaca. Liz, you be sure to keep us updated on any new goals or anything happening at your gym, okay? It was truly a pleasure having you on our airwaves.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will chat with a dear friend of the show, Mr. Ron DeLeon. Of course, MMA and boxing fight promoter. He has a pretty cool event taking place at the Lansing Center tomorrow night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ooh.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. 15 minutes left here in the show. I'm going to cause a bit of chaos behind the glass for our engineer, Isaac Constance. Again, we are giving away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team as they play host to the Michigan Wolverines. We're going to give away tickets right now. You got to earn them. Here is your trivia question. The biggest defeat in the MSU, and Michigan rivalry occurred in what year and what was the score? Okay? The biggest defeat in the rivalry occurred in what year and what was the score? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go. So here we go. Phone lines are going off. In the meantime, I want to get to our second guest for today's Current Sports, The Return. That's right. Ryan De Leon Promotions presents The Return, a big boxing extravaganza that will take place at the Lansing Center tomorrow night. We've got Ryan De Leon on the phone lines right now to talk about the big event. Ryan, what's up, my man?
How you doing, Al? Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate your support.
Oh, always good hearing your voice and always good having you on the show, Ryan. Well, just briefly here, just tell us about this event. Again, The Return, what sort of lineup do you have in store for fight fans in the Michigan area?
Al, as you know, I've been doing mixed martial arts for many years now, coming back to for The Return. 7 years to return for the professional boxing show, the Lansing Center, tomorrow night. The doors open at 7, the fights start at 8. We've got two of Lansing's finest, Tyrone Fist of Fury Harris, in the main event, fighting in a six-rounder for a belt, lightweight belt. And we've got Tommy Guns Washington Jr. in the heavyweight division, just wreaking havoc on these heavyweights. Expect big things from both these guys. They made their debuts with me many years ago, keeping Lansing on the mat, keeping him strong. And we've got a solid undercard to match as well.
What are some of the sexier undercard matches to look forward to as well?
Well, funny you should bring that up. My mixed martial arts scene, I've got two female fighters, Melissa Holmes and Laura Ferguson. They face each other twice. They beat each other twice. They actually stopped each other twice. The trilogy ends tomorrow night. It's a four-round fight. These girls are weighing 200 pounds each, and they can bang. This will be a barn burner. That is the feature fight of the night after before the co-main event and main event.
Looking forward to that, Ryan. And, you know, I briefly, when I looked at this flyer, I just assumed before really looking at it that it was an MMA event. But this is a boxing event. And I have to ask, Ryan, when was the last time you've done a boxing event?
It's been 7 years.
7 years. So this is huge.
Yeah, it's very huge. I started this 19th. This will be my 19th year promoting the greater Lansing area. And I started off with professional boxing. 2008, went back, started doing some mixed martial arts. But I got a lot of calls about getting boxing back, and I've watched Tyrone Harris grow as a fighter and Tommy Washington grow as a fighter. A lot of these other guys, Eric Hall, there's many of the fighters on the card, and I wanted to just return the favor and keep these guys in the mainstream in Lansing, Michigan. I hate when they take fights in other people's hometowns and everything. I want to show these guys what they can do with their hometown crowd. And these guys are both bringing it along with, like I said, the Southern undercard as well.
Ryan, are you kind of remiss that you waited so long to bring it? And why so long to bring a boxing event back here?
To be totally honest, as I've mentioned to both fighters before, my goal was boxing was my passion. I thoroughly enjoy professional boxing. Mixed martial arts took over the scene. That's what everybody wanted to see. So I kind of gave in and put what the people wanted to see on there. And I kind of strayed away from what my true passion was, and that was professional boxing. So I'm going to continue to do both, but I'm definitely going to keep boxing back on the forefront right now. I have three more fights scheduled this year, and as of right now, it might be all professional boxing. I'm going to keep these guys active and keep it fresh. And a lot of my friends were just asking, man, let's do a boxing show. And I decided to make sure I had a solid undercard. As you know, most cases, there's injuries before fights. Mm-hmm. And a fight has to drop out. I was telling these guys, I can't do a show with just, one or two solid fights, and the other ones are just, up-and-comers, because it won't carry the show. But we have such a solid undercard right now that any of these fights could really be the main event. I've got some really action-packed fights Saturday night, so I'm really looking forward to doing this.
Really looking forward to checking this out tomorrow night at the Lansing Center. Again, we are chatting with Ryan De Leon of he's an MMA and boxing fight promoter who has The Return. That's right, boxing. tomorrow night at the Lansing Center. Doors open at 7, and the events and fights start officially at 8 p.m. Ron, do you notice a difference? I'm curious, just to ask you this real briefly here. Do you notice a difference in the crowds when you talk about boxing and MMA?
There is a different crowd. There is definitely a different crowd. Boxing is more of an old-school crowd. MMA is hot, it's fresh, it's new and exciting. You know, got a lot of the younger group is in that. A lot of the old school people get into the boxing, and I've got a lot of MMA fighters who had really good stand-up. They would get beat, you know, get taken, you know, into the deep waters when they got taken to the ground. I'm like, man, why don't you guys just box? That, you know, you're there to watch people not get knocked out. So we're starting out the show with like three fights like that, with mixed martial artists boxing against each other with heli stand-up. I mean, these guys can bang. I could picture each fight going the distance, and I could picture a knockout with every show. That's what I love about what I do, putting on some competitive matches that at any given time, anybody from any state of Michigan can come have an equal chance of winning in my events. Very proud of that fact.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Ryan, we are looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great event tomorrow night. For our listeners out there, how can they come? What's the price? What are tickets looking like? That kind of thing.
Tickets are $25 in advance today. Tomorrow, they'll be $30 at the door. We still have plenty of general admission tickets available at Aldaco's Restaurant on Lansing Southside, Tasmanian Tire in Holt, Value Tire in Okemos, and both Mexico to Go locations in Lansing as well. So we've got plenty of general admission tickets available. Ringside, they're sold out, but to be honest, there's not a bad seat in the house. Lansing Center is the mecca of Lansing as far as venues. I should even say Lansing, this is the Midwest. I love this venue that I'm at right now. It's just my home, and we do great things over there. So looking forward to tomorrow night.
Ron DeLeon, boxing and MMA fight promoter. Ron, looking forward to tomorrow night's event, and keep up the great work. You are doing an outstanding job, my friend.
My goal is to be like you, Al. Is there a book on how to be like you?
Stop
I'm just
it.
Curious. Is there a
Stop
book?
It.
I'll buy it.
Hey, it's your world. I'm just paying rent, all right?
Ryan, Al, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow night.
You got it. I can't wait, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for your support.
All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Isaac, I believe we have, what, two callers that are in waiting? I mean, we may not get to caller number two if caller number one nails it. Again, we're giving away a pair of tickets to check out Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., nationally televised on CBS. And our trivia question that we pose to you all, what is the biggest defeat in the rivalry between the Spartans and Wolverines on the hardwood? When did it occur? What year? What was the score? Right now, let's go to line one. We have our dear friend and listener, Ben Grimes, that wants to take a stab at it. Ben, what's up, my friend?
Hey, Al. How's it going?
I am great. Thank you so much for listening. Ben, are you ready to answer that question?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Go ahead. What is it?
March 4th of 2000, and it was 114-63.
Ding, ding, ding. The tickets are yours. And you know what? I want to call out Ben real briefly here because on yesterday's show, look at him. Do you hear the celebration in the background? That is fantastic. Look, they're going crazy in the background. Ben, you called this because when I posted this on my Instagram page that we would be giving away tickets, you said, you spoke it into existence, quote, the tickets are mine. And they're yours. All right?
Well, and to vouch for Ben, too, he called in within, I'm not exaggerating, 5 or 10 seconds of the question. Now, there is no Google involved, I can guarantee you, or else this man has a job as the world's fastest typer.
You know, I got a chance to meet Ben in person not too long ago, and Ben knows his sports. Ben, you enjoy the game, my friend.
Thank you, Al.
You got it. All right. Well, 4 minutes left in the show. I know, what do we have? We had Jody on line two. Was that Jody on line two, Isaac? He was calling for the tickets?
Yeah, correct. Looks like he's still on, too. If you,
Jody, we'll just have you on just to say hello. What's up, Jody? Jody is salty. I know. I get it. I know.
At least give me a parking pass. I'm kidding.
Parking pass. Jody, did you have the correct answer? I have to know. Did you have the correct answer to that?
Well, you know I did, man. Come on. Now, that's
okay.
An easy question.
That was it. Well, shout out to our PAs, though. They did a good job because I wanted it to be tough. But I didn't want it to be too hard. I didn't want to have, you know, a bunch of wrong answers left and right. So, especially when we were shorter on time. So, I'm glad you called, though, Jody.
Who was the starting lineups for the 1945 Michigan?
That would have been way too tough. Come on, Jody. No one's getting that.
I know. That's why you can just get the tickets to Mama.
Right. Well, I tell you what. Before we get out of here, Jody, we're short on time here. We're about to wrap up. I would just give me a brief thought and prediction on what do you think will take place this Sunday.
I didn't, since being up here, we didn't get the Michigan-Indiana game. I was shocked when you started announcing that they blew them out.
Right.
And I hadn't really paid attention. I think that a lot of it's going to, it's all going to be on Cassius Winston and Tum Tum creating plays for everybody else. I think Bridges will get his, and also what Nick Ward shows up. As far as Michigan, you know, Abdul Rahman and Derek Walton and Zach Irvin, they've been through a few more battles.
For sure.
And they're also a little bigger. At home, it should be a close game, but when you're playing a lot of young fellas, you know, you're going to have those growing pains this first year.
So, Jody, who wins?
I never predict Michigan, but I think it could be a little rough because they're young and they're not, you know, they're young and little. That's a hard, you know.
Right. That is true. So are you going with Michigan in this game?
I can never go with Michigan, so, you know.
Okay, gotcha.
But, those words cannot come out of my mouth.
I hear you. I totally get it.
I can leave you that way, but I just can't say it.
Jody from Canada. Jody, thanks so much for the call.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it, my friend.
Have a great weekend.
You got it. You too.
All right, bye-bye.
A brief reflection Friday, Isaac. What has been your most memorable story, conversation, segment, interview on the show? Or beyond?
It's a difficult one, but, you know, I enjoy talking some NBA. We don't get to do it very often, but how about the Detroit Pistons this year? A total letdown. I'm sorry about that, but, you know, the
just
thing is,
to go here,
they
huh?
need to make a few moves to turn the season around. It's that simple for me. I've never been convinced that Reggie Jackson was the answer, but now Andre Drummond is slacking off. Maybe if you get rid of one, you fix the problem, but the thing is, they need to make some alterations before the trade deadline.
Gotcha. I hear you. Well, for me, clearly the Williams sisters competing in the Aussie final. I'll be setting my alarm at 3:30. No one's up but the man upstairs during that time. But I will be up to watch that game. And also, breaking news here. I see this story. The New York Knicks have let the LA Clippers know they are open to trading Carmelo Anthony to the Clips. So we'll see how that pans out.
Don't take him.
Interesting story there. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday with a full recap of the rivalry matchup Sunday afternoon. As always, take care. Have a great weekend. And be easy, people.